So, have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night? Perhaps you needed to go to the bathroom, and you ended up bumping into the chest of drawers, or the dresser, or the end of the bed, or the door, or something like that? Why were you bumping into things? Well, probably because it was dark. In our scripture this morning, we have Jesus telling folks to walk in the light so that darkness doesn't destroy them. Our text today is in John chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 34 to 46, and the title of the sermon is Being Children of Light. John chapter 12, verse 34 to 46. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtakes you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." We'll stop there. I was reading about a couple who had taken their two children. One was an 11-year-old boy and a 7-year-old daughter to Carlsbad Caverns. Have any of you been to Carlsbad Caverns? Ah, yeah. So the tour reached the deepest point in the cavern, and the guide turned off all the lights. And they did that to show how completely dark and how silent it is to be below the earth's surface. So this little girl, having been suddenly enveloped in darkness, was frightened and began to cry. And immediately, just like that, she heard the voice of her brother, the 11-year-old son, saying, "Don't cry. Somebody here knows how to turn on the lights." Well, as we think of Jesus, we think of one that is not only able to turn on the lights in our hearts and in our minds, but he is one that is the light. John said this in his first epistle, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Sometimes we find it disconcerting that there is so much in the world around us that seemingly is not the way that it ought to be. We find it troubling that there is hatred and that there is violence and corruption and fraud and people pushing down other people to advance themselves, and the list seemingly goes on and on. But Why? Why is there such a cloud of darkness? Well, it's because many people don't know the Lord. They don't know the one who is light. Jesus said in verse 35 that he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Now, that tells us why things are off kilter so often. But what is the answer, or what is the solution? In verse 36, Jesus went on to say, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Now, the MSG paraphrases that passage like this: "As you have the light, believe in the light, then the light will be within you, shining through your lives. You'll be children of light." Children of light. So, we're called to believe in Jesus, not just in the sense that we acknowledge that he is for real, but in the sense that we actually entrust ourselves to him, in the sense that we actually embrace him and welcome him totally, fully into our lives. The Lord doesn't force himself upon us, but he longs for us to open ourselves up increasingly, to open ourselves up completely to him, to his presence. And so the word of Jesus to the Laodiceans was, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Revelation 3:20. And that's a picture of, that's an illustration of the kind of relationship and the kind of fellowship that God desires with you and I. Have you become a son or daughter of the light, in that you have been adopted into the family of God, and you are today in fellowship with him, dining with him, as it were, dining with Jesus? If that's the case, then it ought to show. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I wonder if we've gotten that. But let me read it again so you can ponder it more carefully. "It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So think about that now. The same God who said at the beginning of creation, "Let there be light," and there was light, is at work. That same God is at work in the lives of Christian believers today. Our lives. You and I may not always be aware of this spiritual phenomena, but if Jesus is truly on the inside, then there's something supernatural at work going on, and it ends up showing on the outside. Sometimes we're not even aware of that, what it is that people may notice. But the Lord's desire is that he might shine through us. Now, having said that, let's take a closer look at several things from our text that pertain to this entire matter of being children of the light. And these are all three in the form of questions. Are we believing only, or are we also confessing? Are we seeking the praise of men, or are we seeking the praise of God? Are we abiding in the darkness, or are we abiding in the light? So that first one we get to in the scripture is believing only, or also confessing, question mark there. Notice again what was said in verse 42. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him," that's in Jesus, "but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Now, you may have noted when I had read the text originally that there were some folks that didn't get it, period, because their eyes were blinded and their hearts were hardened. And Isaiah, generations prior to that, was speaking of that very thing taking place. Eyes blinded, hearts hardened. He had prophesied about that. But the group of people that is being cited or referred to here in verse 42 are individuals that believed in Jesus, but they were not declaring him openly. See, the word confess in this passage means to speak out freely. It means to declare openly. Now, why were these people holding back? What was amiss here? What was going on? Why weren't they open about their faith in Christ? Well, they were fearful. They were afraid about getting kicked out of the synagogue. Now, I was trying to think as I was pondering this scripture of some, you know, it's talking about rulers. So I was thinking, okay, who are some prominent people that became outspoken for Christ? One individual that I thought of was the late Chuck Colson. As special counsel to President Nixon, Chuck was indicted and sent to prison when the Watergate scandal broke, and there was this huge hullabaloo going on in the nation's capital and in the White House. What happened, though, was nothing short of miraculous. Chuck had a conversion experience. He saw the light, and he turned to the Lord in his brokenness, became a new person. He became a son of the light, son of light, and he began to share his faith in Christ. He was doing so in prison. Actually, while he was still in prison, there was a ministry going on to other prisoners. You've got to get one of these books out in our church library and read about it if you haven't. And so when he was released from prison, he headed up what has become one of the world's premier prison ministries. Prison Fellowship International continues today. But are we open about our faith in Christ? In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 3, we have Jesus saying to his disciples, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." That's always been a very challenging kind of word from Jesus, at least from my perspective it is. Another quote, ruler in our day that has inspired me through his speaking freely about Jesus happens to be former President Jimmy Carter. Now, I have not made it to, haven't had a chance to travel to Plains, Georgia and attend his Sunday school class that he teaches still at least a couple Sundays a month there at Ebenezer Baptist Church. For my morning devotions last year in 2017, I was using a devotional book that Jimmy Carter had written. Actually, Diane's using it this year for her morning devotions, and we're just finding it insightful and inspirational. But if we're going to be truly children of light, where the light of the Lord shines forth, then we need to not only believe in Jesus, but also to confess him. That is, you know, to speak about him openly. All right, the second question that emerges from today's scripture is this. Praise of men or praise of God? Again, that's a question, form of a question. Praise of men or praise of God? Now, this comes up in verse 43, which is actually a continuation of verse 42, so let's read them together again. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." love the praise of men more than the praise of God. No. So this farm couple was driving through town one hot summer afternoon, and as it got hotter and hotter, the farmer's wife appealed to her husband, "John, dear, it must be 200 degrees in here. Could we please roll down the windows?" "Are you out of your mind?" he replied. "And let all the town folks know that our car isn't air-conditioned?" Well, I know these days even many of your tractors probably are air-conditioned, aren't they? So, but as human beings, isn't it so that sometimes we are overly concerned about what others may think or what others may say? Why? Well, don't we want people to think well of us? Don't we want people to speak well of us? Now, in the case that's noted here in our scripture, in the case of the rulers, there was concern about not just what people might think, what people might say, but what people might do. They were concerned that they might be put out of the synagogue. And that, perhaps we don't think of it as much, but there are people in our day that really do think about that or are concerned about it. I read about a, it was in a GFA magazine, and it's right out here on our magazine rack. You can read the full article sometime, but it's about a young fellow from an Asian country whose family worshipped idols and gods and goddesses. But when he was 13, someone invited him to church. His parents did not want him to be going. They warned him not to go. But there was a problem. He ended up finding such peace and comfort in the worship and in the word that it was like a compelling thing for him. His parents harassed him. They actually beat him until he stopped going. In spite of that, this young fellow made a decision that he wanted to spend the rest of his life in worship of Jesus Christ. Now, along with that, he discovered a desire to share God's word with others. His parents, though, were furious about this entire decision of their son to do something like that. They pleaded with him, and they ended up throwing him out. When he got older, he had an opportunity to attend Bible college. Wonder what he is doing right now. Wonder how the Lord is using. Wonder how the light of the Lord is shining through this young man. But that fellow was more interested in the praise of God than he was the praise of man. But what about you and I? Do we continue to cultivate this relationship with the Lord and this walk with Him? Is living, being a son or daughter of the light, what is really motivating us? The light of the Lord is what is drawing us and compelling us and moving us on in our journey. In John chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus said to his disciples, "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?" Now, it's a blessing. It's a blessing when someone gives us kudos. Is it not? It boosts our spirits. When there is affirmation for something that we did or said or whatever, and it sometimes goes a long way to hear that, to hear good job from somebody. But ultimately, as children of light, we want to hear from the Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, the third question to reflect on as we consider this passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning is, and I think I'm flipping it from what it may be on your sermon note sheet, are we abiding in darkness Or are we abiding in the light? Abiding in darkness or abiding in the light? Notice again verse 46. Jesus said, I've come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Should not abide in darkness. So going back to this thing again of when it's dark, well, in these days it gets dark earlier and in the morning, at least if you're getting up at 6 o'clock or whatever, you folks get up, it's dark in the house. And so it's pretty easy to bump into something or to miss a step. So I've already said, Diane, turn on a light if you're going to go downstairs. Why do I say that? Because I'm interested in her well-being. And sometimes I have to remind myself to be careful as well. Anyway, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers at Ephesus, he was reminding them about this entire matter of walking in or abiding in the light. And so here's what he said as it's recorded in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ will give us light. As a Christian, it really should be, lights on. Lights on. Groping around in the darkness is what a person did before they came to the Lord. But after having come to the Lord, that should have changed. It should be different. You and I are to walk as children of light. We are to abide in the light, which means that we continue to follow Jesus. We continue to allow him to show us the way. And as he exhorted church folk in this regard, Paul said in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. What is acceptable to the Lord? The Bible says, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove or know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The scriptures, the Bible is absolutely essential in this regard, in that the Holy Spirit takes the words in scripture and reveals what is acceptable to him, reveals his perspective as we read the scriptures. In the words of the psalmist, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path always. Psalm 119:105. So, children of light are to be walking in the light. We're to be walking in the light of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we don't need to be in the dark, but that you have revealed yourself and continue to do so as we seek after you. And we pray through your Spirit and through your Word that you would continue to enlighten and to shed light on our path. Lord, this morning we pray for this young fellow who came from a family background that was not sympathetic to his desire to follow Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to help him, to strengthen him, to direct his path. And we pray that that family might also come to know Jesus. But we pray that wherever your people are these days, that there would be light that makes a difference in the world around them. So help us, Lord, to continue to be your disciples, to be your people, and yes, that we might indeed walk in the light. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.